a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Dolly has been waiting very patiently on the line in Lehigh. Good morning, Dolly. What is your question?
Good morning. Thank you. 2 years ago in the fall, we cut back roots of our three aspens clustered together and put in a barrier so they wouldn't spread. But they've been dying ever since from the top down. And maybe every month it grows a few inches. Is there anything that we can do to save them? Should we cut off the top part that's been dying?
I'll make sure my microphone's on. It was, and I forgot. Anyway, so we'll move on from that. The aspen trees, so the pattern of death is, have they been just dying from the top down slowly, or did you just see that the top was suddenly dead?
It's been slowly.
Okay. And have you seen in the branch any holes in there with sawdust or something coming out?
No, I think it has to do with water. It was really hot the year that we cut the aspens back, and I think we might have shocked them, but now it just keeps spreading.
Okay.
I think maybe we need more water.
It could be. How often are you watering?
Every day. Maybe like 3 gallons of water.
Okay. So I'm assuming then they're on drip.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do with them is that may be enough. It may not is go out and see how wet the soil is. If that soil is wet, there's no reason to water. And so you might want to hit them twice a week, but with more water, or three times a week with more water, to give them a break so that they drain. Because if you are putting down 3 gallons a day, what it's doing is either just giving them enough that they're kind of surviving, but not really, or they're being drowned. And so the natural water pattern on these trees is to get more water and then dry out a little bit and then get more water. And so on your drip system, that 3 gallons a day is probably enough. It may be too much, but you're just going to have to investigate it. And if that branch is dying, scratch the bark or get a knife and cut underneath the bark and see if it's green underneath. If it's green, you may leave it there, you know, for a couple of weeks to see if you get new leaf buds on there. But if it seems to be that it's just absolutely dead, I would prune it out.
Even if it's the very top.
Yeah. The trees will recover and grow. You know, and the aspens, once established, will grow 5 or 6 feet in a year. And so I don't think that it'd be a longer term problem. And if they're brand new trees, the other thing you could do if they were purchased from a box store is maybe exchange them or a local nursery. Tell the nursery you've been having problems. You leave them in the ground, but can you get an extended period of time in your warranty or something, you know, so that you're not just out.
I also was thinking that we just traumatize them when we cut their roots to put a barricade in. And do you think that maybe that could have been irrecoverable from that?
Because if they had well-established roots and you cut them, that would cause a lot of trauma to the trees and a lot of damage.
I have one quick question. We also have some cherries and peach trees that every year they'll have a lot, and the next year they'll have very sparse fruit. Is that normal, or is there something that we could do different?
Well, on the cherries, especially on either of them, it's not really normal because both of them are very strong annual bearers. It could be coincidence, but the peaches do you want to thin them to every 6 inches on the tree so that you don't have as mm-hmm. large of a fruit load, and that may help. And on those peaches, do you have those on drip also?
Mm-hmm.
I would, and do you just have drippers at the base of the tree, or is it spread out a little bit? How old are the trees?
Just at the base. The peaches are two to three years old. Different ones are different ages.
Okay. So I would switch the kind of drip you're doing or increase the number of emitters so that you've got two or three emitters per tree. But as those trees grow, mm-hmm. you're going to need to irrigate the entire root section. So under the drip line of the tree is where you would irrigate. And so on your drip, you might just add more emitters right now, but in another couple of years, you would switch those from drip or bubblers over to what we would call micro spray so that they sprayed under the canopies. Because over time, that drip isn't going to be sufficient to keep the trees healthy.
Okay, that makes sense. We had a frost that happened, kind of late frost this season. Is there anything to protect the trees, like put a covering over them, or do you just do nothing and just
if the trees are small and you're not going to do a lot of damage, you can try that. But when a tree is 15 feet in the air and 15 or 20 feet wide, that becomes very impractical and very difficult. And so you pretty much just let Mother Nature do what she's going to do and then hope for the best.
I see. Hey, thank you so much for your help this morning.
All right, Dolly, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a 10-gallon Kindred Spirit Oak. It's still in a pot. Last weekend, they didn't soak it on Sunday, just one day, they point out. But it was that very hot, windy day. Monday, the leaves were curled up and completely crispy. Now, they've been soaking it every day since, but there's no improvement. And they're wondering if it's salvageable, if they should plant it. Will it live?
I would plant it. I mean, it probably needs to be watered every day if it is in a pot, but I would get it in the ground, and it's not dead. It just got a little bit crispy, and I suspect that it's going to take 4 weeks or 6 weeks before they see any regrowth, but it should, as long as it's getting sufficient water, it should re-leaf and be just fine. Now, the biggest mistake they can make, though, once it's in the ground, now they, if it's in the pot, water it daily, but if it's in the ground, they only should water it two or three or four times a week and spread so that it can dry out between irrigations. Okay. Otherwise, they can drown it and that will kill it.
Our next person wants to know what they can do about box elder bugs eating the raspberries.
I think we hit this one.
Did
but
we hit this one already?
The box elder bugs eating raspberries, they can try Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew or maybe Triple Action, but I don't want to use anything too powerful because then they'd have to go for a week to 10 days before they ate the berries. Now, if they're losing all the berries, they may as well spray. But the other problem is they still have blossoms on there. You don't want to be spraying the blossoms.
Yeah.
So
I meant to ask you the best way to get rid of aphids on strawberry plants. I got my strawberries and raspberries.
I've never seen strawberries with aphids, but
could it be something else?
It could be something else. Well, if the strawberry leaves are really sticky, I mean, there's definitely aphids that will get strawberries, I'd imagine. But just a simple horticultural soap, as long as they know that it is aphids, but they might have to put the spray tip of their their pump sprayer into the raspberries to get the spray on the undersides of the leaves.
All right. Quick break. When we come back, Rod and Andy, you guys are up next. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls and questions. Let's go back to our phone lines. We have Rod, who is in Salem. Good morning, Rod. What is your question?
Good morning. We planted two burnt orange maple trees about 15 years ago. They're now both standing about 30 to 35 feet tall. One of them, all summer long, is a beautiful green. The other one, maybe 25 feet apart from that, is yellow. And it looks kind of funny with a green and yellow tree. Is there something we can do? I've added chelated iron to see if that would green it up, and it doesn't seem to change.
Well, there are a lot of different things going on with iron chlorosis, and we don't understand everything. But the best chance of greening that tree up would be especially a spring, like an early spring application of chelated iron. You want to be using the like Miller Farah Plus or grow more chelated iron, because there's lots of chelates out there and most of them aren't really efficient in our soils as compared to the active ingredient in those two products. So it would probably help if you did an application now, because the trees with our hot weather aren't sending out a lot of growth. It would be less effective, but you could try it.
Okay. So is it specific to a maple tree, or is it just the soil? Or?
Well, it's really common to have three maples in your yard, and especially if they're like the autumn blaze, like you have, to have one that's totally green, one that's kind of green, and one that's yellow. And it could be differences in soil. It could be differences in establishment, that one was a lot more stressed and didn't form the needed relationships with microorganisms in the soil. It could be that the irrigation on one is a little more, a little less, and it's healthier or not. There's so many factors. And so one thing you would do if they're planted in the lawn is make sure that you're only watering twice a week, but watering deeply. Because if you can get some aeration in the soil and let the soil dry out, that will help. But even then, you're probably going to need to do the chelated iron in the spring.
Okay. We'll give that another try. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Rod, for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a mature black walnut or an English walnut tree in their backyard. Will English laurel survive growing under it?
It should. You know, everyone's like, oh, the walnuts kill everything. They don't.
Okay.
There's a few things that won't germinate underneath, but if they're rooted 6-8 inches deep, the walnuts will not be problematic, especially if they clean up the leaves in the fall.
Okay, let's go to Andy, who is in Roy. Good morning, Andy. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. Thank you very much, guys. I love watching or listening to your show.
Thank you.
Well, what I'm dealing with is I've got a ant problem. I've noticed I've got two or three colonies that apparently are kind of close around my house, and I'm kind of killing my yard off to kind of redo it. And I'm wondering if by doing that, I've kind of forced them into my home foraging for food, because I've actually been finding a large number of them coming into my basement through cracks in the foundation.
So, I mean, the obvious thing here is kind of after the fact is to seal those cracks up to keep more from getting in. But I cut you off. Go ahead.
So basically, I've been trying to spray and do things, but I'm trying to figure out if there's a really good way while in the process of what I'm doing to try and kill those colonies off completely. Is there anything that I can do along those lines?
Are they just foraging in the house, or do you think you have established colonies somewhere in the house?
I'm pretty sure I have established colonies from what I've been able to find outside.
Okay, I would definitely seal up your foundation so that it keeps more from getting in. Then the ones in the house, are they the traditional black ants, or are they longer?
They're the traditional kind of smaller, I think they call them sugar ants.
Yeah, black ants or sugar ants. So you can get baits from places like Steve Regan or IFA that you can put out, and what you would need to do is, because the ants don't like to forage when we're around, and so it may involve kind of sneaking a peek once in a while to see if they're in those traps, maybe even at night to see if they're using those traps. But these baits will take a while, and you may need to try some different kinds so that the ants will take the bait and take it back to the queen. And once the queen ingests it, and it takes sometimes up to a week for that queen to die, but eventually it gets rid of the colony because the queens are dead. I mean, you can try things like aerosols and things, but if you don't kill the queen, the colony just keeps coming back. Now, those sugar ants are also, they have a food source in there somewhere. And so do you know, does it seem like they have a preference for anything in the home that you can see?
Well, I haven't been able to figure out what they're coming after. They don't appear to, I haven't found anything that looks like they're carrying anything. So I'm a little, okay. I don't know if they've just got something, or their nest has gotten down close enough to where they just found a way into my home and that's all they're doing, or what?
Well, they're in there.
I haven't able to figure that out yet.
Because there's a food source somewhere, and it can be hard to determine. So what I would do is just try the baits. Make sure that, you know, if you see them in the kitchen all the time, keep the floor swept and mopped. If they're in the storage room, look around, you know. But
they're only in an unfinished basement at the moment. I haven't seen any in the kitchen or anything like that yet.
Seal your foundation up and try the baits.
Okay, so the baits are the only thing that will kill the queen off then.
Yeah, I mean, if the colonies were still outside, you could pour boiling water on them. But if they're inside, that's not really practical because you can't really, you know, get the boiling water.
I actually tried the boiling water about a week ago on two of the colonies, and the one colony is actually still very active, I noticed last night. So maybe I got to do it again.
It might be deep enough that it didn't penetrate in there, and so just keep after them. I mean, a spray, just a commercial aerosol spray, will knock those colonies way back. But if you don't kill the queen, they'll continually regenerate.
All right. I'll get some baits out then. That's what I need to do for that portion. Okay. Thank you very much.
Set your foundation up also.
Thanks for your call.
Will do.
Next listener, Ton, says, bye-bye. Their tomatoes are really bushy. How do they get them not so bushy?
That's good.
I was going to say, isn't bushy good? Mine seem too straggly.
The bushy tomatoes, I mean, if you look at online videos and they're like, oh, prune all the leaves off the lower parts of your tomatoes. Don't do that here because the tomatoes will sun scald. They need a little bit of shade. So, and without further details, I would say it's fine. Leave them alone.
All right. I'm going to try and squeeze Katie in here. Katie, good morning. What is your question?
Hi. I have just redone my driveway, and there's about a foot and a half of space between my driveway and the neighbor's fence. And I've always had this dream of planting espalier trees along there to grow either some pears or apples or something. But I'm concerned that the space isn't going to be big enough or that it'll crack my new driveway or something. So I just wanted to know if that was a reasonable thing to consider or if I should come up with a plan B.
So on the other side of the driveway, is it lawn or more driveway?
It's dirt.
It's dirt.
Yeah,
so
they don't
no
have anything planted
there.
They do have some trees on the other side, so I think there's some irrigation, but there wouldn't be from my side of the yard.
You would need to run probably drip irrigation along there to keep the trees watered. And if there's bare soil,
which we could do,
on the other side, I think you're probably okay. Those trees would come over the driveway a bit eventually, maybe, but I think you're okay.
Okay, and is there a dwarf variety that you recommend?
That's the problem with espalier is people will buy these espalier trees, and I talked to somebody this week that overpruned their espalier and killed them over time by just a lack of energy getting into the roots because of lack of leaf cover. So what I would do is buy a book on espalier in 3 or 4 minutes. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But yes, especially on apples, there are dwarfing rootstocks that make it much more feasible than with, say, like an M7 that you would do on a 20 or 25-foot tree.
Okay. And I need to put some soil in because they excavated quite a bit when they did it. Is there a type of soil blend I should use?
Well, is there any possibility of transferring soil somewhere in your yard to there?
Yeah, I have a large raised garden on the other side of the driveway.
So if you have extra soil that matches your native soil, I would go ahead and just use that along the driveway to match what you have. Otherwise, I would just see if you could find a good sandy loam from a local retailer to put in there.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, you can call us at 801-575-8255. You can also text us with your questions at 57500. WaterWise at 10 follows ABC News at the top of the hour here. Thanks for being with us and joining us on the KSL Greenhouse.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.